it was this, that what was happening here was that the devil was trying to cross out the cross out of Jesus' life. If he could just trip Jesus up, he would have eliminated the cross and the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. And he thought that was something appealing to Jesus. Because Jesus at this time already knew what he had to go through. He also knew what was going to be taking place and the pain it was going to cause him. And the truth for us, and I should say probably before us, is that there is spiritual conflict. And I don't think I have to convince you of that. There are temptations we face every single day. Some of them are not so obvious. Some of them are very obvious. Some of them are critical. Some of them are, well, measly, maybe we might say, compared to others. But the temptation to use God to meet our needs and our expectations is always before us. And they were placed before Jesus in his temptation. And rather than allow him to use us to accomplish his purposes, we think God is there to accomplish ours. And I think as we take a look at the temptations of Jesus, the message of the gospel, in fact, the message from anywhere in Scripture, there are things that surround us every single day that would help us understand the concept that theology is trying to teach us. And when I was growing up, my father's parents, my grandparents, how should I say it? They talked a little different. They were from the old school. And so what we call a potato, they used to call taters. And almost with that kind of accent. And the further south you go in our country, the United States, you'll find more and more people saying taters. And we chuckle at that. But how many of you have eaten tater tots? They're not potato tots. They're tater tots. And I would like to use a potato. I'm going to put it right here so you can see that. About some things in our lives that have a tendency to cross out the cross in our lives. The first tater I'd like to talk about is Dictator. That's his name. He has a whole family. And Dictator is a kind of person who is concerned more about personal preferences than other people. In fact, the truth is, his preferences take preference over the gospel. Now, there are people that want you to think their way, and their way is the only way. Now, I can see in your eyes the little churning that are going on. I know somebody just like that. And the impression you give when you're a dictator is that, well, church doesn't belong to us, or it belongs to us, and it's very important that we maintain our traditions. And I say, this is the way it's going to be. Now, perhaps in our congregation there are people like that. I don't know. But I know that I have some relatives like that. that if it's not their way, it's the highway. And you know, as much as I hate to admit it, there are some pastors like that. Why do I say that? Because pastors are sinners just like everybody else. And the truth is that God wants the church to belong to Him, and that He wants us to allow Him to use us to accomplish His purposes, not ours. Sometimes they may be coincidence and coincide, but sometimes not so much. Well, there's a relative of Dictator. He's called the Agitator. He serves as a source of, well, conflict. He's like the wash machine with the agitator in the middle. He's causing all the turmoil and turbulence in the water in order to get your clothes clean. Oh, that's a good agitator. But the agitator within a family, within a congregation, these are the people who, well, they spread false reports or half-truth reports, and usually with the emphasis on the negative. They even slander sometimes people, where people will slander pastors, or they'll gossip. That's what an agitator is. In truth, if the gospel reigns in our lives, we understand that our speech should build up others, not tear them down. I think social media needs to learn that. And the tragedy is, we can do all of that damage to people anonymously. No one knows who we are. I think maybe one of my favorites, because I sometimes am this person, is a spectator. He rarely gets involved in anything, but he wants a lot of things done. And I enjoy doing this only part-time, because I don't watch the whole game the Vikings are playing. Only the start, and then I take my Sunday afternoon nap. Otherwise, you'd have to send me back to the seminary to learn a different language. Armchair quarterback, that's what a spectator is. They see things that are needed and needed to be done. But the great part of being a spectator is that somebody else should do it. We can live sort of in the comfort zone, watch from the sidelines. I used to be this person, although a little more dictator. When my son was playing basketball, you know those guys with the funny looking striped shirts? Mm-hmm. It's surprisingly how little they actually know about basketball. Another relative of Dick is hesitator. That's a person who, well, hesitates. He straddles the fence. And the only thing you get from that are slivers. Hesitators hesitated God's promises. Well, did he say? And almost sounds like, the temptation story. Did God really say that? That's our response. We hesitate in following God's way and purpose because we're afraid. And we're much more comfortable when other people do the work. We hold off until, well, I think it's going to work. I'll join this one. But we hesitate to the point that we really don't participate in anything. And then we have the commentator. Right there, that's a commentator, a little bit bigger than normal. But it's common, that's what a tater looks like. This person is always talking about things that need to be done. What's wrong? What could have been done better? It's like when we see clouds coming over, really dark clouds and thunder and lightning, and not a drop of rain. All thunder, no rain. And then, of course, there is a lamenter. Whenever you get into a group of people, there is usually one of them there. They mourn over the direction of the world or the direction of the church. It's the good old days. I remember when. It's all right to remember when. For me at my age, it's all right to remember. It's terrible. And I do it when I'm preaching. I'm preaching out on this branch, and all of a sudden I'm at the branch, and I'm sawing on the wrong side. I can't remember where I was going. St. James' translation was good enough for St. Paul. It should be good enough for us today. I got news for you. The King James Bible wasn't translated until the 1500s. St. Paul lived in the first century. What's wrong with that sentence? Good enough for St. Paul. Should be good enough for us. It's an impossibility. Then there's the irritator. Oh, everything irritates them. It's easy to point out what people are doing wrong. And I think as we take a look at dictator, agitator, spectator, hesitator, commentator, lamentator, irritator, as I said before, I could see in your eyes, you have someone in mind. When I describe some of these people, so do I. But the truth is that there's a little bit of these people in every single one of us at one time or another. And it's then we begin to cross out the cross because the cross wants to take those things away from us to make us new people. Yeah, we're going to fall off the boat every once in a while. We have to climb back in because God forgives our sins. The problem sometimes we have is when we see or talk about sin, it's like we clean the outside, like this potato. I clean that off pretty good. I could eat it this way, peeling and all, because it's clean. But the real truth of the pudding is when we bite into the potato. you're hoping for weight. That's the way a potato needs to be inside, or clean, not necessarily white, but certainly clean. What I hate when I have to help my wife peel potatoes, which is, well, I'm not sure if I should tell you according to me or according to her. Well, I do it every once in a while. that's in there somewhere, of some amount of truth. But you're peeling the potato, and then you're going to cut it into slices for french fries or chunks to boil them, and all of a sudden, bang, there you are, there's a rotten spot inside. All that work, and you've got to throw it away, because it's no good. Sometimes you can't cut around it, you just have to throw the whole thing away. And when we look at these characteristics and the temptation of Jesus, these are things that he was resisting. All of these things that are part and parcel of all of us. And sometimes we allow these things to grow to the point at which that's us, totally. We too easily give in to temptations to avoid the cross of Christ that he has commanded us. It's so much easier to sin than to live in righteousness. Ask Adam and Eve. It was easier to take a bite than to resist that, oh, so good-looking fruit. But look where it got them and us. It's on the inside. If I cut this tater in half, that's the goal of our redemption. It's not just washing a few mistakes off on the outside, or sins we call them, but it's the inside of the potato that is the treasure. And that's what redemption is aimed at. Not just the washing of the outside, but the cleansing of the inside as well. The temptation to cross out the cross in our relationship with God. God is always before us. Always there, even when we try to cross him out. And let us not focus only on the crucifixion, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ long ago. That truth, that thing we call resurrection, updates itself to us today, so that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, wherever you are or whatever you may have become, you can see new life in Christ through his redemption. You can rise again, become alive again in God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So it doesn't have to be a long time ago that Jesus died. His resurrection is good this season, the season of Lent, and every season of our lives. God offers us his grace to be embraced, and through his Son, renew our relationship with himself, so that when we stand strong, we don't stand alone. It's not in ourselves, but in Christ that we can stand and stand strong, because we're made alive in Christ through the forgiveness of sins. Inside and out. Now the peace of God that is above our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm.